faithful. Let's stand together, if you would please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Great job there. You pray for those young people. Two Oreganders, a Missouri girl, a Arkansas country bumpkin, and a Canadian. How about that? All right. Remain standing. Let's read Proverbs chapter 24, would you please? I want to thank our orchestra members. The orchestra brings a lot of blessing to chapel, and I certainly thank the Lord for those who will bring their instrument and prepare for orchestra each chapel day. I love to hear you over there and see you use your talents for the Lord. Also bringing some greetings. I've had the joy to be at City Baptist and Hammond Baptist morning meetings. And I see some of your colleagues that are in their last semester of student teaching. And we miss them in chapel, but I'm very thankful for the role they're playing. I watched one of our young ladies today. I walked to the elementary school or the grade school and saw them teaching the class of fifth graders and just doing a great job as they were learning to put into practice what they learned in the classroom. And all of us will have a chance to do that one day, and I hope you'll be ready when that time comes. Be studious where you are. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 1, would you please? Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studies destruction, their lips talk of mischief. Through the wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Would you read 4 and 5 with me, please? And by the knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all. Very good. Verse 6 says, And by wise counsel shalt thou make war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of the foolish is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Would you read verse 10 with me, everyone, in conclusion? If thou... Our Father, I thank you for the privilege to be in chapel today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Brother Buchanan and his lovely wife, and of course, Brother Kirk Copeland, who's been used all over this country and challenging young people to live for the Lord. Thank you for his presence today. And of course, the Nelsons, who not only given their daughter to the Lord and to this college, but also have given of their substance and sacrifice to help make this a better place. I pray you bless them. Thank you for every student, every faculty member. Please meet with us for a few moments. Lord, we certainly, you don't need me. You never have, but I, again, need you desperately. Please help me to be a blessing to our student body. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And before I get to the message, I want to review real quickly. How many say, Pastor, I think I know all six of the First Timothy principles by heart. Anybody know those all six? You feel like you could do it, all six of them? Who's ready to do that? Anybody? All right, Miss Miller, why don't you come over here real quick, or just stand up right where you are. Give me chapter 1. Keep your doctrine sound. Chapter 2. Yes. Chapter 3. Yeah, keep reproducing yourself spiritually. Chapter 4. Very good. Chapter 5. And chapter 6. Would you give her a round of applause? And would you give her a $50 gift certificate over there? And I think that's fantastic. And I hope you enjoy a $50 gift certificate there. Now, who else wants to try it too? Anybody else? I'm just joking. There's nothing. Let's do it together real quickly. I want to, of course, just a quick reminder. The theme verse of 1 Timothy chapter 3 is verse 15. And Apostle Paul says, if I tarry long, or I can't get to where you are, Timothy, I want you to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And so we know that's why he wrote the letter of 1 Timothy. He probably wrote him other letters, but two of them God put in the Holy Scriptures. And I'm so glad we have 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. One of them was written from house arrest in Rome. The other one was written from the Mamertine prison, where he would just in a few days give his life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think he tells as young men and young women and who are going to be leaders. And by the way, the success or failure of any work of God, whether it be your classroom or or a youth department or a pastor of a church is going to rest heavily upon the person of God Himself. Usually you'll find successful ministries have someone who's in charge of them who is trying to do things God's way and is behaving themselves in the house of God. In just a few days, I'll have the chance to shake hands and give a degree to several young people in this room and others who are at the student teaching and those who have finished already and will come back for graduation. And when I look them in the eye and I stand on the platform and I see them get ready to come, one of the things I oftentimes think, Lord, please help them to be a balanced Christian with these six characteristics. None of us are going to be perfect, but I'd like to have these six characteristics inside of you. Now, one inside of me, I hope you can see it in me. I hope I can see it in you. But definitely someone who graduates from her college, I'd love to be able to look at them and say, these six things are in them. Chapter one, keep your doctrine. Another word for doctrine, sound. Sound means clean. Keep it, hygiene is the word there. Keep it clean. Don't pollute it with questionable things because doctrine determines our destiny. Doctrine determines where we'll be and also determines your decisions. What you believe will make your decisions for you. If you believe that questionable music is wrong, you'll stop listening to it. If you believe it. If you're sound on that, you won't entertain that. I'm not going there. If you believe that people who continue to take the name of God in vain and pull their clothes off and begin to do immoral things on a television screen, that is not good for you. You believe that is wrong and that's something you won't watch movies that have that. You're going to say, hang on a second, that's going to determine my decisions. And then it's going to determine your destiny. Chapter 2 is making prayer and your walk with God a... We find that from the word, I would that first of all, that the first things we do is that as we make prayer a priority. Usually prayer is our last resort, not our first response. But making prayer important and making it a preeminent part of our life, really because it's our quiet and our private time alone that gives us power in our public ministry. Chapter 3 is spiritual reproduction. And that is winning and discipling others that will be trained for the work of the ministry. And I want to encourage all of you. I love to hear the testimonies of people getting saved. Now, if you got to lead someone to Christ, take time to say, what can I do to help them grow? I have several people I've led to Christ recently, and I have probably texted 20 people that I know, some of which are saved, some of which are not saved, some of which I led to Christ on airplanes and foreign soil, some of it I've led to Christ locally, and I've texted them, and you could see my phone this morning, probably about 15 of the 20 that I text have texted me back, thank you, Pastor. One lady, her name is Rita Cortez, she's not saved yet. She's a good lady, lives in Hammond, has attended the church numerous times, and she just said, Pastor, I'm sorry that I'm not a faithful to church, but I know one thing, you care about me. And I know the Maxwells care about me. And I'll be forever thankful for that. Now, she's not saved yet, but she knows that someone cares about her. Another precious lady had the joy to lead her to Christ in my home. And she was a real estate agent, but she said, Pastor, thank you for caring for me after I got saved. Well, it's just that's what we're supposed to do. We have to continue to work with people and encourage them and help them and decide, you know, because everyone who's a leader of God today got led to Christ by someone previously. And everyone who was led to Christ, someone had to help them grow. And now it's our time to do that same thing for somebody else. And it's must spiritually reproduce. Because there's no success without, once again, there's no success without someone has to come after. And all of us have to be thinking about this. You're not trying to get a crowd. I mean, I want to have more people on our bus, but quite frankly, you need to make sure that you're discipling and helping the people that are on your bus. Develop that. Captains, be excited about the big day. Try to blow the doors off. But remember, you have workers, and you're helping your workers. Every captain is going to make another captain. Every worker is going to help another worker. Everybody who's, you're working together. You're trying to reproduce. And then chapter 4 is the example of a godly being a godly example and working with the Lord to be a good example. Because our sermon whisper, but our life, yeah, what we say is one thing, but if people don't trust you, they're not going to trust what you tell them. You can be the best preacher or teacher, but if people see your life as a lie, they don't give a rip what you say. Your life is much louder, and make sure that you're a good example. That means in how you take care of your things. Is your car dirty? Is your room dirty? By the way, I stepped in a couple rooms over here in Malone 2, and man, these guys are doing much better on that situation. The floor even smells better. It's awesome. But be a good testimony. How you treat people, how you greet people, how you learn their names, all those things. Your testimony is important. We're going to talk about that in church ed today, community relations. And this morning I sat down and wrote a letter to our mayor. And put in there the Easter flyer and a bulletin of the church, and just reminded him that First Baptist Church, and I'm praying for him and his wife Marissa and his kids. Well, it's just part of the situation. I want to be a good testimony. I live in Hammond. He is my mayor. I'm commanded to pray for him. Those are things we can do and be a good example to our leaders, and then to our community. Then chapter 5 revolves around treating God's people, how to treat God's people. And this is something that some folks are really good preachers, but they're not good at taking care of people. They might be, they just often sudden we get a superior attitude rather than a servant spirit. And it's important that we learn this, because there's two things that I want to remind you in chapter 5, and that is relationships and, you know, the whole chapter is about relationships with older folks, younger folks, with widows, with young widows, with ladies who are married, with elders and your spiritual leaders, and with people that you continually have to balance your relationship and negotiate through life. And then the last one, chapter 6, is about financial management, how to handle your finances. And four basic principles: working diligently, associating carefully. You'll never be a good financial manager if you listen to everyone and their advice. And there are some people you just can't hang with. They spend way too fast, and they have deeper pockets than you, or they may just dun-dun-dun charge. You know, they just have the charge card. You got to learn who I can associate with, when I have to say no, when I can't, because you can't have everything you want now and have everything you want later. I was greeting with a few people the other day, and I'll just say this quickly while we're in chapel today. I want you to listen to me. Everybody listen to me. Whenever you get married, especially, but when you're young, learn to invest for your future. You don't want to be a liability to your children or to your ministry. And when you're young, get life insurance for your wife. I just recently had the opportunity to deal with a family whose husband died very suddenly through a car accident. And I'm so glad that man had life insurance for his family. Now his widow, with all the grief that the kids are going to have, they do have some options now. They're not destitute, because he learned to do something. He was thinking not just about him, he was thinking about them. It's very important we do that. And it's too that we learn to save something. There's many biblical principles about finances, but one of those is you need to give to yourself. Now, don't give too much to yourself, or you'll have the thing that the rich men are going to hear, you weep and howl for the misery that's going to come upon you. When? Whenever your possessions were too much. You didn't know when enough was enough. And there'll be a witness against you before God one day when they see all the things that we wasted and the things we kept too much rather than to put into circulation for the kingdom of God. But you do need to save. There's oil and there's treasure to be desired in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it all. And if you're living hand to mouth, and I know sometimes it's just you're going to go through seasons of that, especially while you're in college, you're trying to struggle to do that out and take care of that. You hear the school bills due again. You're like, oh, I just now finished paying March, and now April's done. Or some of you are saying, I haven't paid February yet, and now I've got to do that. And some of the reason why you're behind are circumstances beyond your control. But most of the time, it's irresponsibility. It's when you got in the line at Starbucks and gave them $5. And now we're not responsible there. It's whenever you splurged on this and you expended this and you bought this on eBay and packages are coming in and your school bill's not being paid. Then you've got irresponsibility. Some of you are trying to serve Christ without the fear of the Lord, because you're not a tither. You're not giving to the Lord. You don't honor the Lord with your substance. And then you want God to honor you, and it's not happening. It's a beautiful thing. The Bible tells us, whoso findeth a wife, and even learn a spouse. And by the way, if someone is single, it's not because they're not giving the Lord, but the Bible tells us, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. And one of the good things in life, potentially for every person, not everyone's intended to be married, but most of us are. Marriage is a rule, singleness is the exception, and both are a gift. If you're able to marry, you've been gifted by the Lord. If you're a single servant of the Lord and God wants you to live that way, it's a gift. But most of us have the gift of being married. And can I get an amen on that? Okay. And some of you, it'll be a modern day miracle. But I would say to you, I would say it's very important that you learn to prepare for that, but also that you learn to save and put some money aside for difficult days. Those are things I want you to learn. Once again, keeping our doctrine sound, making prayer a priority, spiritual reproducing ourselves, being a good example, relationship and responsibility and financial management. If I could encourage you to say, God, just help me to figure out how to behave myself. Because anyone who serves the Lord with emphasis on a regular basis is going to balance all six of those things on a daily basis, every day. Every day I have a responsibility to keep our doctrine pure, to walk with my God, to win and disciple others. Every day. Every day I need to be on. I live in a glass house, and if you serve the Lord, you can live in a glass house. You can't have a bad day. One bad day can ruin a whole lifetime of influence. You got to be a godly example. Every day you'll interact with people. You need to ask the Lord, God, give me wisdom to interact with them with wisdom. And my relationships be responsible. And then every day we deal with money. All six things are coming together. And I want to encourage you to make that a priority in your heart and life. Now I want to direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 24. I just want to walk through a couple thoughts here today with you. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. What someone's heart thinks about and what their lips talk about are going to determine whether you're going to spend time with them. And I want to encourage you to guard your influences. Anytime. Pastor Wilkerson's 55, but I have to guard my influences. There's some people I'm just not good around. Some people, I admire them, I like them, they're smarter than me, they have great intelligence, they may even have some things, but I've got to be careful what and who I listen to. Every blog you see is not worthy of your eyes to read. Everything you see on a YouTube or somebody's information, and by the way, oftentimes I got someone just recently, and they started following this one person, and they just watched video after video and video after video, and some of it sounds pretty good, but it's laced with poison. It's laced with false doctrine, and this person is buying it hook, line, and sinker. And they just, all of a sudden, and this person who they're watching doesn't care about them, doesn't even know their name. Boy, that sometimes happens in a college like this. You can hear people who know, you can see their life. Obviously, they have a love for Christ. Well, I was thinking about someone the other day. I was walking up to church in the morning, about 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe 6:45, and I talked to a man who got saved in our church, baptized in our church, discipled in our church, and he said, Brother Paul Johnson's a good man. You know who else is a good man? He said, Brother Phil Penns is a good man. He said, that guy has got a real love for Jesus. It's sad, but some of you will walk out of Phil Penns' class and listen to him and think, that's pretty good. And then you'll walk and go home, go on your phone and watch some clown, right thing. And you'll listen more to this clown over here that doesn't even know you, and he's in skinny jeans and a T-shirt trying to tell you how that he's going to change from this version to this version, or he's going to how to change things from this wad, or don't be listening to old fogies. And what you need to do is turn that dude off and go back to Phil Penns and go soul with him on Saturday and learn something from somebody. Be careful. Guard your interest and your associations with questionable people. If you don't do that, you're destined to fail. And I'm not here to judge failure or not failure, but the Bible's very clear. He that walketh with wise men shall be, but a companion of fools shall be, and you and I will not be the exception to that. The Apostle Paul challenged the church at Corinth, which was a carnal church. In chapter 15, verse 33, he said, look, be not deceived. Don't kid yourself. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around dogs and you're going to get fleas. You hang around wrong kind of influences, they will affect you. There's clowns in this room right now, and they've got dirty mouths, they've got dirty minds. And it comes out. Whatever is big on the inside of you will come out your big mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I think every once in a while, somebody needs to say, hang on a second, I can't be with him. I can't talk to her. I love her. She's my friend. I'm going to spend to heaven with her. I'm going to go to heaven with her. I cannot be around her. Her mind is not thinking the way God wants me to think. And it's going to be a real good decision for you to learn. Who can I be with? Who can I not? Who helps me? Who hurts me? He says, don't be envious of evil men. And don't even desire to be with them. Be careful about your associations. Look, if you would please, at three concepts in verse number 3, 4, and 5. Through wisdom is a house builded. A godly and a great life is built with the fullness of these three things. How do you build a nice house, about a nice life? Well, by understanding, it's established. By knowledge shall, wisdom is builded, understanding, it's the foundation there, and knowledge shall be the chambers of be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The wise man is strong, yea, the man of knowledge increases strength. You know, a life is built here, it says here, it's through wisdom that that a house is built. It's through understanding is its foundation. And through knowledge, it furnishes the house. So those are three concepts. Let's take our Bibles real quickly and go to Colossians chapter 1. Hold your place there and look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. I want you to underline this verse if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for turning. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Can I have a young man stand and read that verse? Who will do that real quick for us? Zachary, go ahead. Okay, you see the same trio is there. What are the same trio? What's the words you see in Colossians 1, 9 that we find in Proverbs chapter 24? Knowledge and what else? Wisdom and understanding. And we find it there. He says, you know, since the moment we heard about you, Apostle Paul says, I've been praying that you'll be filled with all wisdom and all knowledge and spiritual understanding. I'll break it down just real quickly. This is something that's kind of helped me. Number one, knowledge is what you know. Okay? But there's a lot of people that they got a head full of knowledge, but they do not know how to put it into play. I've shared the story with you before, but Buzz Aldrin, who really had all kinds of problems after he walked on the moon, he came back and was doing an interview and a brokenness, a marriage that was broken, and addictions that began to overwhelm him, and mental breakdowns, and all this stuff. And in frustration, one day someone asked him a question on, I think it was CBS, I think it was a major network, and said, what did you learn by walking on the moon, being the first man to walk on the moon? And he said, well, here's what I learned. I learned that someone taught me how to walk on the moon, but no one's yet taught me how to live on the earth. You know, that's someone who he's a rocket scientist, but did not know how to keep a marriage together, did not know how to restrain himself from intoxicants, didn't know how to get life going. And that's someone who maybe have what to do, but then wisdom is how to do it. Wisdom is pinpointing and practicing Bible principles. Wisdom is putting the glasses of God on your head so you can see more clearly. I can't see my Bible with my natural eyes. I can put these glasses on and I can see clearly. There's many things that are blurry in life and you're not sure what to do. Wisdom is, okay, what does God tell me to do? That's knowledge. And how can I put it into play? What do I need to do here? And the third trio here, we have knowledge and wisdom. What's the third one? And the proverb says it's our foundation. And understanding is why. Knowledge is what, wisdom is how, and understanding is why I do what I do. I think if you don't understand a few things, why you girls, if you don't understand why you're supposed to dress modestly, how why you would put your dress over your knees, or why you would be careful with sheer clothing, if you don't know why, it's just a matter of time. Your foundations are going to be destroyed. Fellas, if you don't know why a pure life is so important, you can know what to do, you can know how to do it, but if you don't have the understanding of why that's important, how that it puts a blot on you that cannot be wiped away, Immorality, sin always, it's the world's greatest detective. It always gets its man. If you understand why, you're going to find yourself eroding away the foundations of life. So three things: knowledge, wisdom, understanding. The what, knowledge. The how, wisdom. How do I put it in my life? How do I transfer what I know God wants me to do to my workplace this afternoon? How do I know what the Bible principle is? Boy, when you're counseling people or someone asks you a question, don't think what you think you're supposed to tell them. Think about, what does God's Word say? What does His Word say, and how can I apply this? It would be a great day when you started answering every question, well, what does the Lord want us to do? Is there a verse of Scripture? Is there something? Because as for God, His way is, it's perfect. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And boy, I'm so glad I have a Bible that gives me definite things that tell me what to do, how to put into play, and why I do. And one of the things I think you have to understand, I wouldn't say you need to invent a new wheel. You don't need to set your own path. Matter of fact, the old prophet said, walk in the plain path. What's a plain path? A one that's already been made for you. Every once in a while I find young people, I got to find out what I believe. Listen, while you're still young and dumb, just walk in the path someone else believed and follow their faith and their doctrine and their testimony, and understand why they're walking in that path. I think you can study people enough. Most of you, if we just open our eyes and watch people who have done the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for a lifetime. And you guys have people that have been married 20, 30 years in your sphere of influence, and they have beautiful marriages. They don't have perfect lives. They love the Lord. They're still faithfully serving. They're still doing the right thing. That's the people you need to figure out. Everyone else is going to fall off the edges of life. It grieves me. Some folks I've seen, they've been so faithful to the Lord, and then they just get off on an exit, and they fade off into oblivion. In regards, I'm still going to enjoy heaven with them, and they'll enjoy heaven with me, and I'm so thankful. But I don't think our ends will be the same. And I think you have to be careful and know why you believe what you believe. Look at the next one, if we can, please. The third point I want to give to you. It's found in verse number 6 and 7. It says, for by wise counsel shalt thou make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And I would just remind you, be careful who you counsel. Recently in this room, I told you, when you have major decisions, don't go to your roommate and get counsel. Okay? Does not mean your roommate's not a bad person. They can pray. You can ask them to pray with you about it. But if you want to get something, get someone who's down the road of life who you know practices what the Bible says. Find someone, ask them. I've got some of you, and I love seeing you stay after class and talk to your teacher. Say, can you give me a little thought about that, or can this happen? Boy, it's so wise. Or ask, you see a sweet lady, and you see her. She obviously has the heart of her husband safely trusted in her. You might ask them, can you give me a couple thoughts on being a sweet wife? What are some things you do when you feel like your husband, what he decided to do, what you decided to do is not the same, but how do you handle that? Maybe you ought to ask some questions about that. But seek wise counsel. There's safety in that. There's safety in making good counsel. And by the way, just to remind you, I think you have friends, and boy, I'll be forever dead. I'm going to preach tomorrow night for my friend, Brother Warren Johnson. Of all college friends, he probably became, not at the time we were in college, we were in the same bus division, and we went to the same areas, and we preached on the same night bus, and we lived on the same dorm floor. But it was after we left college that God let us serve the Lord for 6 years on the same church staff. And even before that, God gave us a real bond. I remember when his little brother took his life in high school, pitched a perfect game, a no-hitter, and went home and for whatever reason, took his life. It was such a tragic thing. And I remember him being in the dorms when he heard that his brother Coleman had passed away. But he's just been a great friend to me. And oftentimes I have asked him to pray for me. I've been to his dorm room over here in Malone 1 sometimes when I was in college, and I didn't ask him for advice. To my knowledge, I just said, Warren, pray with me about this. He's asked me, John, I need you to pray. Now we're colleagues in ministry, and we have great fellowship and time together. But I would encourage you that finding good people, and a friend doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. A friend helps you do what you'll be glad you did when you stand before God. A friend always helps you do the best. They don't stroke you and say, well, I do the same thing. I'm glad you told him that. I'm glad she said that. That's what you should have done. She needs to have that. You might want to just say, hang on a second. Is this from the Lord? Make sure you get good counsel. One more thing I want to share with you in closing. There's two more. Let's look, if we can, please, at this verse right here. Verse 8. Read out loud with me, would you, please? Verse 8. Ready? He that devises to do... He said, you find someone who's just bent on doing dumb stuff, not doing the right thing, will be called a what? Your reputation is very important. I sat with someone yesterday and said, I don't really care what anybody thinks about me. I said, that's a tragic thought. Because a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. There's two things you really need to negotiate life successfully, and that is a good name. And when your name is spoken, people think honest, a cheat. Selfish, selfless. A servant or superior. On time, always late. Diligent, lazy. Responsible, irresponsible. You can't help it. You're building a reputation. And the Bible says a guy who keeps doing stupid stuff, he'll be known and called a mischievous person. So many things can happen in life. And I think about the people that get to serve in this ministry, and I get to serve in this ministry with, and had a chance to be with everybody yesterday for a few minutes, yesterday afternoon. I walk out of that meeting with just humility for the quality of people that I get to serve God with. And they have good names, good reputation. None of us are perfect, but they have good names. You want to have a good name. And you're making that name. You're making that name right now in your classes, in your attention, in your conduct, in your cleanliness, and how you conduct yourself. All those things, you're making a name for yourself. And by the way, if you're dating someone that's got a bad name, everybody thinks negative about them, you might want to wake up and smell the coffee. Because probably someone's going to say that about you. And when you get married, two become one. And when people see you, they see your spouse. You're linking up with someone that's got bad issues. That's not going to go away because you say I do and you kiss each other. You sign on the dotted line. You're going to continue with that. Be careful with your reputation. Don't be called someone who is known because of their behavior. Even a child, the Bible says, is known by his doings, whether his work be good or whether it be evil. Even little children, they carry a reputation in the nursery or in their Sunday school class. Oh, that kid, oh, it's driving me crazy. Because even we get that with kids, you know, we also get that with adults. Get that with pastors. Get that with pastors' wives. Your reputation. I was in a ministry recently, and I heard someone say, well, the pastor's wife, she's not very friendly. She seems to be stuck in a little bit of a bubble and doesn't want to get outside the bubble. You know, that lady is making a name for herself. And it's hindering the life of her leader. And she's there to help him, not vice versa necessarily. But I think these are things we need to learn. We're making a reputation. Let's pray together and ask God to help us. How many would say, Pastor, with my head bowed and eyes closed, I need the Lord to help me. He's talking to me and I know what I need to do. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? If God's spoken to you, let's speak back to him. Let's ask him for help. You are some of the best young people in the whole world, but all of us, we need to ask God for help and improvement. If you'd like to use the altar, you can momentarily. If you'd rather just stay in your seat, I don't think we're not going to take a long time in invitation. I sure would like to ask all of us to say, God, please, help me be careful with my associations and interests. Help me be careful that I know what to do and how to do it and why I do it. Be careful with my influences, the counsel I seek. Help me, Lord, to guard my reputation. Let your light so shine before men they can see your good works and then glorify your Father, because your reputation is It's much more about the Lord. If you're finished talking to the Lord about whatever's on your heart today, would you just ask Him to help you be a soul-conscious Christian? Maybe even ask Him, Lord, is there anything you don't like inside of me? Is there an attitude, an action that I've done, or a thought I've had I should confess to you? If He brings something to your heart, then let's respond to Him. Let's obey His spiritual impulse. Say, God, I agree with you. I shouldn't have thought that. That was sin. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Confess it. Something special about being clean before the Lord. Not just a little cleaner, but getting clean. Father, I want to thank You very much for this wonderful privilege You've given me to be a small extension of Your heart and Your word to these great young people and faculty and staff. What a blessing. You bless me so much. I pray You help me to not preach something I'm not willing to practice. Help me to put these things into play so that You can be glorified. And Lord, so others can hear about Jesus. Please give me wisdom for my day. Pray that, God, You would give us understanding of why we do what we do, why we should keep doing it. I pray that You would please guard our young people, give them wisdom at work. Lord, those of them who are having financial challenges, I pray You'd please meet them. I pray those who are having relational challenges, and some of them may be, Lord, they're with someone that You've rung off all kinds of bells. This is not great. Others of them, Lord, they're waiting, and they're just like, I don't know why I haven't found someone that loves me yet, or someone who's willing to pursue me, or someone else might be saying, I just don't know what to do, I'm afraid, or not secure, or whatever. I just pray You'd help each of them. Pray You'd lead them, and don't withhold anything good, but help them, Lord, to walk uprightly before You, and help me do the same. Thank You for this wonderful group. Thank You for their hearts for You, and Lord, just to hear their testimonies today, keep using them, and help us to live wisely, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together if you will.